Well, it's just one of those days, and we have them as Philadelphia sports fans, where you just feel, you know, gut punched. I mean, you feel like you're Mel Gibson at the end of Braveheart before you actually die. Well, actually, maybe you're...
No, we're dead.
2 seconds from death, but your insides are being ripped out. And, you know,
oh, man.
No, I'm serious.
No, it's just like a real mental picture there.
That guy's digging into the, you know, the part, so to speak.
Oh, man.
And
wait,
you know,
how do you know?
How do
you
I know?
See that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And also, the clock's starting to tick a little bit more now. I mean, you know, I looked at, you know, bottom right of a computer always has a date, right? And so I looked earlier today, October 10th, 2024, and I thought, oh boy.
It's not always bottom right.
Well, all right. But it's been 7 years now since the Eagles. 7 years. And then you say, well, Phillies wise, it's been 16 years. Like the clock is starting to pick up. Because here's the deal about 7 years. 7 years, four teams. That's the equivalent of 28 seasons. You're supposed to, when you have four teams, win a championship about every 7 years. Like, there's about 28 to 30 teams in the NFL, 32. Like, you should have a title about once every 7, 8 years. And here we are, year seven, and it's going to be no go. So, you know, it's and look, the Eagles don't look great. Sixers, we'll see. Paul George, we'll see. Is Joel going to stay healthy? Who the heck knows?
The Eagles look early.
Well, the Eagles, we'll see. I mean, but it's just, it's one of those things where we're very used to this as Philadelphia sports fans, but it doesn't make it any easier. And in many instances, perhaps it makes it harder because we are so accustomed to being so disappointed. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Rick right now. He's calling from Easton. Rick, good morning.
Couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Joe, you're a fan, and God bless you. And you're wearing it on your sleeve. And I'm 66. My kids say I'm going on 35.
Yeah.
I have a lot of energy. You know, when you're in an elimination game and you could see all the body language, which was obvious at number one, Hoffman, after he bounces that ball the second time 10 feet in front of Realmuto, he's got to come out and get him. But you know what? When you're in a 1-0 game, just try to battle them with some body language. Just warm Wheeler up. Just put him up in the bullpen and let him soft toss back there and put some kind of something in their mind that, you know what, they may be bringing Wheeler out soon. We have to start pressing ourselves. But, you know, everyone's now doing the five stages of death. We're now in the bargaining. Trade Topper, trade Marsh, trade Boom. May not be bad ideas. But you know what? People that are jumping all over Harper, I agree with you, Joe. Embiid, Harper, Lindros, and McNabb, arguably the four best players that our franchises have seen in a long, long time, have one thing in common. We have no rings. And when you have no rings, panic starts setting in because the emotions are off the wall. And you know what? When you say when a team is winning so easily in the beginning part of the season, with my experience, I saw the seven championships, I say to my friends, I say to my kids, I say to the talk show hosts, just be careful. As we're World Series or bust, as we're going to have a parade this year, I just kept saying, be careful. We saw what this team does under pressure the last 2 years, and that's really what I wanted to share with people. You got to just take a step back. Yes, I feel bad for
all of us.
Middleton. Yeah. I feel bad for Middleton. He's going to make it. He'll be okay financially.
He'll be
course,
okay.
But he
yeah.
put so much money
yes, he
up.
Did.
And he wore his heart on his sleeve. You know
yep.
what? Snyder did the same thing, but Snyder, unfortunately, didn't hire the right people. The bottom line here is it's okay to be realistic. It doesn't mean you're negative. I just didn't feel comfortable. And by the way, Joe, while we're talking about Citizens Bank Park
mm-hmm.
being the home haven for the Phillies, yes, during the regular season, but if you look at the last five times we've been in that stadium, we lost to the Astros no-hit, we got beat by the Diamondbacks twice, we lost to the Mets.
Yeah.
How about this? We beat the Mets in a playoff game when they hit three home runs.
Yeah. All right, Rick, you bring up a lot of really fascinating points right there, and yes, the reality, the tally, even though the Phillies historically still have a great record in Citizens Bank Park in the postseason, it's 1-4 now. In their last five. Let's welcome Ben Davis into the show. I mean, he's a huge part of our coverage of Phillies baseball, but year-round as well. And, you know, Ben, this is one of those incredibly, I mean, you've been through it as a kid, you've been through it as an adult. This is one of those ones that 30 years from now, we're going to remember. And I'll say this, Ben, we're going to remember it more if this group never wins a title. You know, like Mike Schmidt and Dr. J at the end, near the end, I should say. Schmidt even more in the middle. But like winning in 80 makes 76, 77, 78 easier. Doc winning in 83 makes losing in the finals 77, 80, and 82. And of course, game seven versus Boston 81 easier. If this group never wins the title, we're going to look back at this one and say, wow. I mean, wasted opportunity times 10 if they never do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm just, you know, looking at this as a fan, first and foremost, I'm really ticked off. Like, this hurts. Yesterday, I was on my way to work, and I stopped at Wawa to get my coffee, and I got back in my truck, and I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to work this year.
You had a bad feeling going in?
I had a bad feeling the whole series. Yeah. I've had a bad feeling since beginning of August. And it's just, it's I don't want to feel that way because I am mostly a positive guy.
I know you are.
But, man, the way this unfolded, especially in the second half, it's just like, it's not going to end up well.
What do you think happened? If this was the autopsy, and you're the, whatever that guy's called, the autopsy doctor, what happened?
I think the offensive approach got offensive. It was so inconsistent. It was beyond belief how everything just went out the door. And we saw glimpses of it. And then we'd hear after the game, oh, this is good. We were better with two strikes. We stayed in the middle of the field. We hit the opposite way. We didn't have to rely on the home run. And then it reverted back to where they came from. And it was so disappointing from that aspect that really, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
So how, I didn't know what to expect from Ranger. Mm-hmm. No one did. How did he acquit himself in your mind? It was crazy that he loaded the bases up right out the gates. I think it was inning one.
See, Ben,
and
I got a theory. He kind of screwed them last night, even though he gives up no runs, because he was so high wire act, it necessitated multiple times for Hoffman to be up, which screws Hoffman and screws Rob Thompson later in the screws the whole team later in the game.
This guy got 13 outs. He got 13 outs. And he threw 97 pitches.
Right.
That's hard to do.
That's very hard to do.
Wow. He had four walks. He had eight punch-outs. And I know that the bottom line
were
says...
Were they all curves?
Yeah.
There was one strikeout
was a fastball.
The first inning, I said to Ricky Bowe, why is this guy throwing so many cutters? Like, what? And then he abandoned the cutter. He threw 31% curveballs. 31%. And they were swinging and missing at it, so he kept throwing it, mm-hmm. which is understandable.
Ben, in this series, who bugged you the most? Now, let me tell you who I think the choices are between. Trey Turner, Hoffman, Strom, Nola, Rob Thompson, Bohm.
JT.
Although I give him a little grace because I just think he's a declining player because of age. Who bugged you the most?
I'm going to go with my pregame trio yesterday. Turner, Bohm, and Realmuto. Going into yesterday's game, they were 4-for-30. That's a 133 clip with one RBI. One.
Yeah, they were a disaster. They were a total
disaster.
The
offense was ridiculous.
Trey bugged me the most because I can accept if a guy swings and you make an out. Normally you do. With Trey, what infuriated me, last night in particular, but through a large stretch of time, He just has a horrible approach. Like, I was literally thinking of Lenny Dykstra last night, and what a master he was. I mean, Ben, he was a master of the approach.
Correct.
And listen, that's a hard standard. That's part of why Lenny Dykstra is one of the great Phillies of all time. But here's the thing. Trey Turner's being paid like he's supposed to be one of the great Phillies of all time. And not more than 5 minutes after I was thinking of Lenny Dykstra, my buddy texted me and said some of these guys ought to study from Lenny Dykstra how to work a account. I mean, it's like it was astounding to me that Trey would get up there and not realize this pitcher is not throwing many strikes. Maybe, and by the way, you're down. What was that? 2-0. I'm getting all these games confused. 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a walk works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got Bryce Harper coming up.
Yep.
A walk is good.
Hopefully, Bryce.
Well, the thing
is, swing crazy.
That how he doesn't. Like, part of a player getting paid a lot of money, you get the talent athletically within the body, but you're also supposed to get the brain. The brain is supposed to be part of a $300 million player. You get the brain. And it's like his brain doesn't know baseball to the extent that I would expect a $300 million player's brain to know baseball. I would expect that from Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
That's unacceptable from Trey Turner.
It's like these guys were pre-programmed to swing at certain pitches in certain counts. And if you look at it and you say the approach, and with all due respect to the Phillies offense, there was no approach. I'm sorry. There was zero approach.
Is that
possible, I don't know,
man.
John. I don't know, and I'm sorry to yell at you. I don't know.
That's
but
fine.
I don't understand
we
why.
We feel the same way. That's
there
crazy.
There was no approach. But this is where we're at in baseball. And you look at over at the San Diego Padres, they have a guy on their team, Luis Arraez. This dude has won three batting titles the last three seasons, and he's been on three different teams. This is where we're at with baseball. This is where we're all about hitting home runs. We're all about slug percentage. And we heard Rob Thomas said this team is built on slug. I'll take Luis Arraez any day of the week. This guy won three consecutive batting titles. He plays every day. He has 576 hits over the last 3 years. But he's been on three different teams because nobody wants him because he doesn't hit home runs. I don't give a crap. This is where we're at, and this is why the Phillies are no longer playing.
You're right.
Trade the whole team for Luis Arraez. I said it last night on the postgame show. I'm right there with you, Ben. I said trade the whole team for Luis Arraez.
All right, you have nothing to apologize for. All right, well, I'll say good morning, but it's a horrible morning. Just horrible, following up on last night. So, Jason Kelce will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And, you know, obviously Jason grew up in Ohio, but has really adopted the teams around here. And, you know, his perspective will be fascinating, both as a fan, but also someone who's, you know, been through the battles as a player. Great to be with you, although unfortunately under these circumstances where, you know, it ended on October 9th, and it wasn't supposed to end on October 9th. Now, you guys do know, I'll say this one caveat, and I know people don't want to hear it. I do think there's something inherently unfair to the wild card system, rewarding teams that have, you know, way inferior regular seasons and then get you in a short series. So it is what it is. But look, these are the rules, and the bottom line is when it's time to go, you got to go. And with limited exceptions, most Phillies players not only weren't good, they were horrible. Trey Turner was horrible. Hoffman, horrible. JT, horrible. Strom, horrible. Bohm, horrible. Kirkering, horrible, even though his ERA didn't look that bad. Inherited runners had scored. Bryson Stott, disastrous. Estevez, disastrous. I can't remember who I missed here. The center fielders and left fielders were all horrible. I mean, all of them. The Marsh, the Hayes, the... I'm glad they went to Weston Wilson, but it didn't lead to anything. Rojas. I mean, just a fiasco. And again, even Ranger, who, you know, his ERA
JT
shows
was really, yeah, really
JT
bad.
Too. And Ranger's ERA shows zero, but his inefficiency is the right word to use. His inefficiency last night is what necessitated Hoffman to be up. Which is what made it harder for Rob Thompson to manage that.
No, but Ranger gave him everything he had. It was a gutty performance, and it's Rob Thompson's fault for bringing Hoffman back out. Listen, like, that's on Topper, man.
I agree.
Like, I think you're letting Topper off the hook with this.
No, I didn't like that he brought him out, and I didn't like that he left him in. But I'm telling you, unless you go to Wheeler, and you can say go to Wheeler.
I did say go to Wheeler,
but you do dramatically diminish your chances to win Game 5.
You got to get game there. Game 5 didn't happen, Joe. Like, Game 5 didn't happen. Like, it is inarguable that
well
you can't play Game 5, you don't win Game 4. Like, you should have used Wheeler there. You should have used Wheeler.
I would have started.
And if nothing else, you shouldn't have brought Hoffman back out. We all knew it.
I would have started the game with Wheeler. I said that from the beginning. I still think they're playing if Wheeler starts the game. I put that on Rob Thompson. And look, you can say go to Wheeler in the sixth. I mean, I get it. I'm not dumb with that. But I also know, like, Game 5 looms. And you were 12 outs away from getting there and handing the ball to Wheeler. And guys like Hoffman and Strom and Kirkring and freaking Estevez, they let him down. Which, of course, John, also goes to Dombrowski. I mean, his decisions at the trade deadline. Like, there were guys you thought would be good in October, like Strom and Hoffman. But the Estevez thing, the Hayes thing, I mean, fiascos. I mean, totally
it
didn't work.
It felt like it was light at the trade deadline, yeah. but we were told, hey, things got really pricey. Everything got expensive. Other teams weren't spending either because they prices just kept going up and up and up and up. But it did feel like we just didn't quite get what we needed to get. And it proved that was the case
yes, it
when
did.
It was all said and done.
Yep.
When it was too late.
Yeah, way too late. All right, let's go to the phones. I mean, it's just a really sad day as a Philadelphia sports fan. It really is. And I'm glad we're here together doing it with you because this is what we do in the good times and the bad times. This is one of the really bad times. And I hate to say it, but we are accustomed to this. And I don't just mean in the last 2 years with an incredible list of, you know, near glory and just disasters. But, you know, come on, guys. Let's be real. Over the span of our lifetime, I mean, all you need to know is the Philadelphia A's still have more championships than any team in Philadelphia sports history, and they haven't been around for 70 years. Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. Not the best day on the calendar. Although it is my wedding anniversary.
Well, congrats. All right, let's talk about the Phils, Ken.
Yeah. So, thank you, Ben. I mean, thank you. I know that you and I are 100% aligned on this because you played baseball at a time when baseball was played the way baseball has been played for 150 years. So, and. Never feel sorry for a guy with his own plane. So people calling up here saying they feel sorry for John Middleton, never feel sorry for a guy with his own jet. You know, as committed as he is to winning, if you want to feel sorry for somebody, feel sorry for me because he's got $5,000 of my money for my tickets next year. And I cannot even fathom going down there and seeing this same group constructed this way, starting the season again, telling me we're all in for the World Series. You can't say I'm all in for the World Series, we're all about the World Series, and then, but we have to keep our powder dry. It's one or the other, okay? So you want to start to talk about who you're going to fire? Why don't we start with all those guys in that building on Darien Street, the analytics team, who somehow has convinced the Phillies organizationally that strikeouts are okay. And I don't want to hear that it doesn't matter. I don't care what your computer says. This game has been played for 150 years, and for 140 of those 150 years, if you didn't put the ball in play, that was an unproductive at bat. Now it's, you know, if I didn't actually, you know, have a life, I would have sat there and I would have charted the number of times Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, you take your pick, went up there yesterday and tried to pull pitches on the outer half of the plate, okay? And the game starts, and I think I might have even texted James about this at the beginning of the game. I got Ben Davis ringing in my head saying, this guy can't throw you three strikes before he throws you four balls. I mean, that's as
well, you know, Ken, I'd actually frame it slightly different. I don't know that it's that he can't. It's that the Mets pitcher wasn't trying to get the ball over three times before four balls because he knew if he threw a ball, they would swing. You know what I mean? That makes it worse. Like, I think he was intentionally throwing pitches out of the strike zone, knowing the Phillies would chase.
No doubt.
That's a disaster for the Phillies to not recognize that and just lay off. I mean, you know, Ken, like, it's here's where I know, and Ken, appreciate the call. Here's where I know when it's a problem. When I, who played baseball through like sixth grade, know that, and Major League Baseball players being paid millions, in some cases hundreds of millions, don't know that.
How do they not know? Just don't swing.
Just watch the game. Like, literally, just watch the game. You can literally see that this guy's not going to throw consecutive strikes. He's not going to challenge you in the strike zone. Watch the game.
Yeah,
I don't care what the numbers say and what this guy came into the game in his last seven starts. He was 4-1 with a .64 ERA. Hadn't given up a home run in his last 43 innings.
Wow.
Was Quintana. But yet they continue to go out there and just swing it at everything.
Because they have no other plan, Ben. I mean, the Mets
were smart. With their swings, the Mets offense, they were parsimonious. They were, you know, controlled. They were doing better than we were for whatever reason. They were able to lay off at times.
Look, there's natural talent, and then there's the application of the brain to the game. And they're sort of two different things. Natural talent, and then how do I play the game? How do I play the game? Let me think it through. And it's like Trey Turner didn't have. It's like he's got to go to Oz to get the brain. It's really not good, man.
That's what I'm saying. Just watch the game and attack accordingly.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's welcome in someone who knows what it's like to win at the highest level in Philadelphia sports. And, you know, he's transitioned now into this full-time media thing, doing an incredible job. We love having him as a big part of our show. And I know for Jason, he has seen Jason Kelce in his close to 15 years in Philadelphia now, a lot of highs and a lot of lows across all the teams. Jason, this one really hurts, man. I mean, you know what it's like, and I'm not saying this to be rude, you know what it's like to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to win in the playoffs. You know as a fan what it's like to watch both. This one really, really, really is sitting hard on the hearts of the fans this morning, as it should.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this team was the best team in baseball first half of the season, and really the whole second half of the season, and then what just took place is an unfortunate end to a team that was... The trajectory just felt like it was going through the moon. So baseball is a weird sport, man. It really is. It feels like it's probably the most streaky of all the major sports. Yeah, like when teams I'll just kind of, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
And, it is crazy.
I grew up in Cleveland, big time Indians fans. 90s teams were just phenomenal, and we never won a championship.
Did you play baseball?
I did.
Were you good?
I was actually really good. I ripped my growth plate off my bone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you said that.
We were talking about that. But I switched over to lacrosse after that because I couldn't throw very – like I don't know. I was a really good pitcher, but after that I was
– Well, you know, you bring up the Indians thing, and it's an interesting – and by the way, let me say Jason Wythe is here, as always, brought to us by Garage Beer because, you know, the garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. You know, that Indians thing resonates with me, Jason, because the reality is, you know, people in Cleveland, of course, but people across the nation look back in that era and say, what a group.
Yeah.
Two things they say. What an amazing team, primarily offense, and didn't win at all.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, we are dramatically hoping 10 years from now that we don't have that view of our team here. Did a lot. A lot of fun,
yeah.
A lot of success, a lot of W's, made the playoffs 6-7 times, .. didn't win at all.
For sure, and they never got that. If they would have had that 90s Indians team, they would have been down as one of the best eras of any team in probably Major League Baseball. And because they didn't get that, they're not.
You view it differently. Yeah. Ben, let me ask you this. Of the three losses,
mm-hmm.
which one right now hurts you the most?
The first one.
No, I'm sorry. Let me reframe. I didn't state it right. 2022, 2023, 2024. As we sit here today, which one do you think hurts you the most?
I'm going to say the first loss that Wheeler pitched.
Saying the World Series, the NLCS,
three seasons,
or the NLDS.
They made the playoffs.
The last 3 years.
Oh. 2022, 2023, 2024. Like, on this one, and here's why.
Yeah.
Losing is set in.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Losing is set in. And I actually think this team was the best of the three teams.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's this year because this is the team that underachieved. Like, the 2022, that team just struck fire. They were the Mets, right? Like,
that's
they
right.
just
Correct.
Came out of Correct. Nowhere, blew the lid off of it. Topper came in, like, what, midseason? And they freaking, like, I don't know, it was just an awesome year. Even though they lost, it felt like this was a really good group that really competed. And then this year it feels like, you know, Middleton put so much into it, and they really, I mean, they started out so hot.
Yep.
The expectations were through the moon. So to be this one felt like it was like, man, they really hit a dud there.
You also had a ton of guys this year, and I'm not saying this is too different than the last 2 years, but this year you had a ton of guys in their prime other than JT, and you had a lot of guys healthy.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ben, you know, how often do you not get that combination?
Right.
You know, you get to the playoffs, I mean, and a dude's out, this guy's out. I mean, we don't know that Zach Wheeler is going to be healthy next October.
Correct.
We have no idea if he's going to be healthy next
Correct.
October.
He's well rested.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there, Ray. I'm still going to say healthy. Last year was tough to swallow. They go up 2-0 against the Diamondbacks going out to the desert.
Yeah.
And then they lose that one. I think they would have dismantled the Rangers.
Let's listen to Rob Thompson on the 3 years, because this was an interesting exchange last night. Rob Thompson, postgame, and I know a lot of people this morning are calling for his job. I'm not one of them, but I understand why people are. I'm not saying it's not something to think about, and it'll be fascinating in the next week or so to find out, if you know, ultimately John Middleton, you know.
You don't think he's not thinking about it?
I think he is thinking about it.
Definitely thinking about it.
Yeah, I think he's thinking about it.
And he should.
I think he should think about it. In the end, I want Zip Rob Thompson, but I know a lot of people say to do so. Let's listen to Topper after the game.
You need to purge some of the things that are creating negative vibes.
No,
Alec Bohm
I understand.
Being one
changes
of them.
Have to happen is the point. Whatever those changes are.
I don't know that it's Topper. Major changes.
Well, I blame the players so much more than Rob Thompson.
Me too.
I do too, but they're not mutually exclusive.
I understand.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Here's Rob Thompson after the game last night. I know this answer will bother a lot of people. Listen, and then we'll discuss.
Rob, it's been diminishing returns in the postseason versus improvements during the regular season since you've been the manager, and you have a very well-paid ball team and a bunch of stars. Can you address, I guess, the perception that the team is kind of going backward? Do you feel like the returns are diminishing?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, like I said earlier, I don't like losing series, and I want to win a World Series, but anything can happen in a short series. And, you know, they pitched our offense really well, and they got to our bullpen. So, but I don't see us going backwards now.
All right, so I knew that last part's going to bother people. See, here's the thing. It's a complicated matter, and here's why. They are getting diminishing returns in the postseason. That's clear. You can't go from two games away from winning the World Series to 5 games away from winning the World Series to 10 games away from winning the World Series and not have diminishing returns. But here's the trick to it. You actually can, and I believe the Phillies are a better team than they were the last 2 years. I actually believe that. I think the 2011 Phillies were better than the 2008 Phillies.
Better starting pitching this year.
But also, like, what does this mean? Like,
Hang on. What it means is it makes it a complicated conversation for the offseason.
What I mean is regular season doesn't matter the same way it used to, and we have to accept that as baseball fans.
Oh,
what I mean is
the best teams are the teams
that are hot in October.
Correct.
The Mets are a better team than the Phillies. And to your point, I get what you're saying. The Phillies were a better team over the course of the regular season, but they weren't a better team than the 2022 Phillies because the 2022 Phillies were better when it mattered most, and that's the end of the, like, that's what it is.
Well, that's part of what it is. I don't know, man. I don't know that it's that simple. I mean,
I don't think it's that simple. I think a lot of times when you're coming from out of nowhere, teams aren't really prepared for that. The reality is, through the first half of the season, through the way the offseason went, everybody's been focused on all these opponents have been trying, like, we're going to have to worry about the Phillies, and they've been thinking about this, and I think that plays into it. I think, I don't think that just because of them catching fire 1 year doesn't necessarily mean that that team would overcompete this team over the course of the season. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Yeah,
this is a unique situation where the Mets are that spectacular. Like, I hate to say that, but the Mets have been the best record in all of baseball since the
well.
The
dumb see, I would
thing.
Say our play is spectacular.
Played.
Well, I don't know that. I don't think they actually play.
They play with a confidence since that Grimace thing. They play like that team that has that record. They've transformed. Like, we are average based on our record, which is
the last 3 months.
I know
that's the thing. We're not making
months.
A big. When
I
we
know.
Talk about this being a great team, they were a great team for 3 months.
No,
like,
I know.
They were not great. The whole course of the season.
But look, they were average, James,
as much as they were great.
Okay, but the 93 Phils went 52-48 in their last 100 games. They were average for 100 games. It just so happens when they played a best of seven, they beat the Braves. I mean, I think it complicates the offseason. I know there's a lot of people that want Bohm out. I'm not one of them. I mean, if you get a great offer, sure. But, like, I'm not looking to dump Alec Bohm. Now, there are guys you got major issues.
I need guys
Trey
who
Turner
have their
is the
mind
big, Trey is the biggest
straight.
Problem.
Get your head right. I need no more time to babysit. Truly, that is what it feels like you must do if Alec Bohm is your third baseman.
Well, here's what I'll say about babysitting. So I'm more pro Rob Thompson than some, but I will say this: I think Trey Turner, Ben, let me address this one to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trey Turner could have used some Dallas Green in his ear in the last 6 months. Like, dude, here's the deal: you're going to not swing at bad pitches, or I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to yell at you in front of the players. I'm going to call you out in front of the fans and the media. I'm going to pull you out of a game. Like, there is an argument that if Rob Thompson did those sort of Dallas Green, Bill Parcells tactics, that maybe the Phillies are still playing, because while it might have made Trey Turner uncomfortable in August, maybe he would have been better in, you know, this week, in October.
Yeah, first of all, that's not Rob Thompson's MO. Secondly, that's not how athletes are handled nowadays.
But maybe some need it.
Maybe some need it, but it's not going to be open to the public.
It would be behind
the
public. Scenes, yeah.
It's not going to be open to the public.
Well, let me say this. It doesn't have to be. I know for the athlete, ideally it would be. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Listen, the child doesn't want to be disciplined. But you know, as a parent, you discipline the child. Whether society tells you you can or can't, I know you as a dad. I'm not saying you're old school, you know, old school.
I'm
okay?
Pretty old school.
But I'm pretty old school.
Hey now!
But discipline is discipline.
But can Topper do it, to Ben's point?
No,
and that might be a reason they might need to make a change. If Topper doesn't have that in his bag, we've never seen, other than benching Bohm in this series, like, we've never seen him really do anything like that.
All right, let's get to three different Twitter poll questions of the day that speak to a lot of what we're kind of in right now with this discussion. All three questions brought to us by Armand Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armand Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long, as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArmandChevy.com, three poll questions. One, do you think Rob Thompson should be fired, yes or no? Question two, which hitter disappointed you the most in the series? Alphabetical order. Is it Bohm, Harper, Realmuto, or Trey? Personally, I think it's ridiculous Harper's in this poll. Seltzer insists he has to be in there. He's in the poll. Question three, which pitcher disappointed you the most? Estevez, Hoffman, Nola, Strom. John, what's your answer to the pitcher poll? Estevez, Hoffman, Nola, Strom.
Man, I think it's Hoffman because I expected so much more, and he was, over the course of four games,
yeah,
I couldn't depend on him at all.
I think it's Hoffman or Strom, but I'm very tempted to say Nola because he's the one guy making $175 million, and when it was a 1-1 series, like, Hoffman and Strom are kind of out of nowhere, guys, kind of. I mean, Hoffman's really an out-of-nowhere guy. I mean, Strom is he's supposed to be a linchpin. Game three, Nola, I'm sorry, I said the wrong name. Nola, like, I'm handing you the ball, my man. On the road, 1-1, go lead me
ace.
To a victory.
He's our 1B ace.
Yeah, and like...
Nola gave up two earned runs going into the sixth inning. Okay, he struck out the side in the fifth. You know how hard it is to pitch knowing your offense isn't going to score for you? Every pitch has to be precise and perfect. Otherwise, you're going to fall behind the eight ball.
But then the sixth inning happened.
I agree with you. So he ends up giving up four earned runs total. All right? The offense doesn't score.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Ben.
I thought
he was too hard on Nola, too. I'm with you.
This is 100% on the offense and the bullpen. That's it. You could say what you want about Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola did a fine job. But these guys don't score runs.
They don't score.
Last time I checked, if you don't score more runs than the opponent, you lose.
Yeah, that's right. All right,
it's not about the better team or who. It's about who plays better. The Mets played better, period.
No question. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Ben. Mr. Seltzer, I got to apologize to you because I was actually one of those guys at the trade deadline who was saying, like, oh, there's so many teams that have these 500 records that are in it. They're driving the price up. And I saw what happened, frankly, since the Oakland series where we let Mason Miller and Brett Rooker get on a plane. That was, you know, just kind of emblematic of, you know, this is, you know, I mean, put it this way, like 3 years ago, my wife and I just had our second kid and, you know, there was no new cars to be found. We needed a new minivan. We overpaid for a minivan.
Yes.
We got the minivan. It's
that's
what
a
we
bad
needed.
Spot, man.
And
well, the production
overpaid.
The production
for a
led
minivan.
To that.
But
yeah.
He had to. That's the point.
That's his point.
And it's a good point. The Phillies had to overpay if they needed someone, and they didn't. And overpay, by the way, no top 100 prospects got traded at the deadline. Like, how much are you really overpaying for these guys?
So, Ed, I'll tell you what bothers me the most about the deadline. It's not Estevez. Because I really did feel very confident in four relievers at that moment. And that included Alvarado back then. It's the Hayes thing. Like, come on, guys. The village idiot knew Johan Rojas wasn't good enough. The village idiot knew Brandon Marsh can't hit left-handed pitchers. You know, we knew Pache wasn't good enough. I mean, we knew that they had they had 1.5 holes in the outfield. They had 1.5 holes. You could say I can go with Marsh against the righty. I can't go with them against the lefty, and I got no one else in the other spot. We all knew that. I mean, they knew that. They sent Rojas to the minors, and I will always be convinced that was not to bring him back initially, like right away, but guys got hurt. Dudes were ineffective. And then it's like, all right, well, I guess we're back to Rojas. And then here comes October. There's still no solution. All right, Rojas, Marsh, Hayes, Weston Wilson. I mean,
how hard
that's
is
a,
it?
That's a disaster.
How hard has it been to learn how to bunt, like on a crash course in bunting, like going and getting the Cliff's Notes?
That's
on
the problem,
bunting.
John. It shouldn't have been a crash course. It should have been started working on in spring training. You don't work on it 2 weeks before the playoffs.
It should be worked on every spring training, every year.
Yeah,
this should be something
should be
the teams
worked on in the minor leagues.
Exactly, in the minor leagues. Like, this should be organizational.
But I'll add another.
Of course not.
Why
no,
not?
Well, no organization.
No, they don't as an organization, but I'll add this as it relates to Rojas. They were trying to have him bunt early this season. The guy,
oh, yeah, with Rojas
he stinks
too.
At yep. it.
Yeah.
Rojas.
Why does he stink?
Because
so
he stinks.
Ben, how
he stinks
hard
because
is it?
He
no
stinks.
One bunts anymore,
to
too.
Do like, that.
It should be learned.
It should be okay.
It should
Jason,
be learned.
Jason, let me ask you this question as a player. When a season ends and there is this kind of reaction in the town, and I'm sure as a player, you would agree with some of it and disagree with some of it. Because some I'm guessing you think is an overstatement. Some you know is completely accurate. How does the play, like when you would lose an Eagles season in the playoffs and the town comes crashing down, what is that like as a player?
I mean, you're crashing down yourself. So you're a lot of it is internalized. I mean, to be honest, you're not paying as much attention. You're, you know, your Eeyore out there in your own head thinking about what could have been and what could I have done better? Why did we fall short? Especially the years where you underachieve, you're like, you know, it hits you even harder, right? Like, I think when you're not the expected one to continue on, it doesn't affect you as much because it feels like you guys still did better than what you probably should have. But, you know, when you're a team that has a lot of talent that's been hyped up and you were at that pinnacle at one point and then it falls short, it stings. It stings a lot, and you're looking for answers. You're trying to figure out what could have happened, and, you know, you're going to drag yourself for a while, you know, go out to some of the bars around town and try and get it out of you. But, I mean, it's going to – until you start back, you're just going to be thinking about it, right? So these guys will be obviously weighing on this hard.
Yeah.
Especially this group. It feels like they've been a pretty tight group.
Yeah. And they know they might get ripped up.
Yeah,
there's gonna be changes. How deep it goes, we don't know. There's gonna be changes. Let me ask you one more though on what we just were at there, Jason.
Sure.
So, I would say you were a lot more ingrained in the Philadelphia culture than some players because it was just part of your thing. You enjoyed it.
I also lived here year round.
You lived. That's right.
You know, I think that's part of it. I lived in the city. I lived here year round, and I went out. Like, I wasn't just like somebody who was here just for the
and a WIP listener. Like you were, you were and are okay. So. As a WIP listener, but a player, when a season would end, would you be more inclined to listen to WIP or not listen to WIP in the 2 or 3 days after the season ended?
Definitely listening to WIP if we win, 100%. Yeah. I'm taking all that that good vibes in. But I would also listen when we lost sometimes, and some of it I don't have a choice. My wife would have it on in the car, and I'm like, all right. she's awesome. Trying to send me a message, but I think some coaches say, you know, don't listen to any of that stuff, which I think is, you know, I don't think you can do that in today's age. I think you're going to have to listen to that stuff. And I think that it's important to when, you know, this town, as unbelievably awesome of a sports town as it is, they live in the extremes. And as whenever you're listening, it's important not to take the unbelievable congratulations and good things they're saying about you, because a lot of that is nonsense. And then it's also important not to take the bad stuff as well. And I think good players know how to navigate that. And I think, I always like listening to the fans and media's perspective from the outside, because I think a lot of the times internally, you rationalize things and you think about things from such a high level that sometimes you miss the like bare bones of like, dude, these guys were just flat and they had no energy. And like, how do we correct that? Like, you know, we're thinking about all these numbers and all these slugging percentages. Yeah, and it's like, so dude, nobody's on base. And like, if everybody's trying to hit a home run or hit an unbelievable shot, how do you build any momentum in a game?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like when this team's hot, they're hot because the bats are connecting. And when they're cold, it's like everybody's just striking out. And it's, I think, in order to build momentum, you would think, hey, let's just get a base hit. And then the next guy, maybe the pitcher starts feeling a little bit of pressure. Right. Maybe the guy behind him feels some confidence because his buddy just got on base. And I think a lot of times that stuff kind of gets lost in a lot of these evaluations. But fans, and for me, it's so apparent when you're watching the games.
Yeah. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Look, speaking of fans, I mean, this is the day for everyone to really have a say. And I know this one really hurts a lot for all of us. It really does. I felt last night, you know, especially for the young kids, the 10-year-old. I know what it's like to go to bed crying because the team you love, their season just ended. I mean, I know that feeling. So it's a tough day for the kids. It's a tough day for all of us. Let's go to Steve in Deptford. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, buddy.
Hi, John. How are
What's
you?
What's up? Steve, I'm
all
not
a couple
good.
Things. I know you're not good, but I'm missing nobody's good. But this is what I really got to say, and I'm glad you corrected it in the very beginning of the show, Joe. Hmm. Listen, the Phillies are just okay. Their last 98 games, they were 50-48.
Yep.
I mean, even if they didn't have that first couple of months, they wouldn't even made the playoffs. I mean, and it's, that's a disgrace to start out the season like they did and just falter the way they did. And there's a couple things. My son Nicky just called me. And he said to me, Dad, why are they burying Turner? And the reason why is they're burying Turner. Listen, they gave that guy $300 million to perform. The guy swings at every possible pitch outside.
And it looks weak. Why is Nicky such a huge Trey Turner fan, Steve?
I don't know, because you know what? Well, you know, he's a made man. He won a World Series. Listen, the reason why he's on the Phillies is because of Bryce Harper. That's the bottom line. And the next thing, too, I want to tell you guys, the guy was batting 352 at the All-Star break. His average dropped 65 points from the All-Star break until the end of the season. The guy's just, you know, he sticks at defense. His defense.
Yeah, he's below average. He's a below average defender. The biggest thing, Steve, the biggest thing for me was he just had a horrible approach at the plate and did not know how much easier he could make it on himself if he just made a determination before a pitch. I'm actually just not going to swing at this pitch because this will probably I would like a player, obviously, to be able to see a pitch, want it swing, consider swinging, but choose not to because you have a good enough eye. Lenny Dykstra, generally Kyle Schwarber, guys like that. But when you don't have that, you can take it to the next step and say, yeah, I got a 2-0 count. You know what? This thing's probably going in the dirt. I'm not going to swing. You know how much easier that makes it for an athlete to stand there knowing he's not going to swing the next 2 seconds? It doesn't compute in his brain.
No. One more thing, Joe, before you hang up on me.
Sure.
I want to mention one thing. Last week, I think you were mentioning about who was a really hard player besides Pete Rose. I think that was your question.
Right? I don't know. I don't think so.
But anyway, I want to tell you, and you've been mentioning him the whole morning. If Lenny Dykstra was on this team and he seen the way that this team was playing, man, everybody would be accountable. Lenny Dykstra was a hard playing center fielder, and he gave it everything, and he was a disciplined and a hard player. A lot of people don't remember.
Well, that, and here's the other thing, and Steve, here's the other thing he was. Smart baseball
player. His nickname
was
Nails. Obviously, he was hard.
Baseball acumen was there. That's what I don't see.
And Chase Utley had that.
Correct.
No question.
It's like
how to play the game. How?
Because they watch
to play
the game.
Yeah, that's
they
crazy.
Watch it.
All right, let's listen to Castellanos talking after the game last night. We're going to play a lot of audio, the various players and manager, obviously, from what they said post-game. Castellanos, post-game last night, a perspective.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we started fantastic. You know, we were the best team in baseball in the first half, and everything... Everybody in baseball and all the fans and everybody are saying, this is our year, this is our year, this is our year. I don't know if expectations put added pressure. I don't know. I don't know. I can speculate. But one thing I know is that we didn't cross the finish line.
Did they get full of themselves? Maybe. Did they get comfortable? I think definitely. I feel really confident when they had that record that there was, and listen, this is some human nature. Like, they knew June 1st they were going to make the playoffs.
De-throttling.
Right? There was no question June 1st they were making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So does that take some edge off? I mean, I found it weird. Let me put it this way. So I would bring Rob Thompson back. A lot of people say don't bring him back. But I'll tell you some things about Rob Thompson this year that really bugged me. I mean, John, when JT would have an off day, it's the ninth inning, two outs, guy on, you're down by a run, multiple times. Ugh. He's not allowed to pinch hit.
Harper, too, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
What was that?
That doesn't work. There's a winnable game. By the way, well, you knew you were going to make the playoffs. You didn't know you were going to have home field advantage. In the end, they didn't get it. Now, I'm not saying that's why they lost last night or won. I mean, whatever. I mean, they might have lost the Mets. They might have lost the Padres. You can break it up any which way. But there was a lack of, here's what there was a lack of. Continuing the sense of urgency that was the mantra in spring training and April.
What sense of urgency have you ever seen Rob Thompson have?
Well, they had it in the beginning this year. They had this thing where it was, we are pissed off because we lost last year in October to Arizona, and we're going to come out with our hair on fire. Like, we are Maverick at the beginning of Top Gun.
Yeah.
And then and then they lost that loving feeling. They lost the edge.
Yeah.
They lost the edge. And they never
recaptured
it.
Yeah. It's true.
This is why I was saying they're not that good. That was my point. They weren't that great.
I remember preseason they were talking a lot about the World Series already, mm-hmm. and I remember saying like this: like, man, you got a long way off before that. And it's I don't know. It felt like, you know, just to what you're saying, like they peaked really soon. They were really hot, and then when it cooled off, it was so far disconnected from those emotions that it never really recaptured it.
So, John, here's what it reminds me of. Because, Jason, I don't think your team's really had... When you guys won in 2017, kind of came out of nowhere. 18, there's expectations, but there's also appreciation because you just won. I'm talking from a fan, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
John, your group, and you were only part of it for a couple years, probably the Sixers currently, but not to the same level, because there's not the same level of belief. Like, the Donovan and Doc Eagles, we talked about the Super Bowl in March because...
Oh, it's the first thing I heard. I got here to town. I signed as an unrestricted free agent in March, and I got here for the off-season program, the first day of the off-season program, and that was what everyone was asking. Everyone who spoke to me was bringing up the Super Bowl in March. I'd just gotten here. I couldn't believe it. I'm coming from 5 years in Oakland where that was never brought up. That concept,
it's more intense
the
here.
Super Bowl concept was not, that cart was not put before the horse.
It was all the NFC
of the season.
It went 100%. It was the success established in this market.
I'm coming from a place where we just went to the Super Bowl and lost, where we just went to the AFC Championship and lost, where we just went to the AFC Championship. It was the Tuck Rule game the year before that. Like, we were up there. We were around that spot. Trying to be there in the postseason.
Well,
every year.
I guess here's what I'm trying to get at, James. I want to ask you this, and then we're going to get right back to the phones. And this is going to be a multi-week conversation, okay? But here's what I'm trying to drive at right now, James. When people crash down on them as hard as the Phillies are being crashed down upon right now, like Alec Boehm, you got to get rid of him. Is that, like, I thought last night, in the NCAA tournament, and that's what I kind of consider the baseball playoffs now, it's a tournament. NCAA tournament, there's 4-1 seeds. At a minimum, three of them are not going to win the championship. I mean, they're just not. There's a lot of teams. Like, I look at the baseball playoffs right now, and I say, man, this format is not great for the greatest teams because now the lesser teams get in, the wild cards get in, short little best of five. I mean, you can play four bad games and be over fast. So I ask this question to you, James. The crash down on their head, is it too excessive? Or is it on point?
No, it's on point because it's not just this season. It's the continuation of 3 years to the point we made before of getting worse and worse and worse in terms of how you finish the season.
But, like, there, there are 12 teams that make the playoffs.
I get it, but this group knows what it takes. They've been there. They've been there. And if it looked different, Joe, if they lost games 7-6 and, you know, 5-4 and they were hitting and players were making plays, it'd be a different story. But
yeah,
we saw
but we'd still bitch about something. We'd still say the starting pitcher screwed up.
I agree, but you asked me, was it warranted? I'm saying it's warranted because of what we saw, of how it happened.
Here's where I'm at on warranted. Trey Turner, 1,000% warranted to be as criticized and more than people are. Because for that money and that experience, you got to know how to play better. There are guys like Rojas shouldn't have been on the team. That's Dombrowski's fault. You know, Hoffman and Strom, I don't understand how they lost their head. I also know they're not supposed to be Mariano Rivera and Dennis Eckersley. So I you know, but like it was stunning to me that they just collapsed. They just collapsed.
But Joe, you should be able to live with Rojas. That was always the point.
No, but I never believed that.
I'm sorry, Rhea.
No, because
you
of
can't
the
live with.
I can't accept
about his defense.
No.
I don't care about it that much. Yeah. At some point, you got to freaking hit.
His defense is his offense.
You cannot be an almost guaranteed 0-for-4 and be a playoff baseball player.
Correct.
You just can't.
Correct.
The
How
rest
does it seem
of
like
that
we
lineup
have an entire
has to
outfield
hit.
Of
no,
correct
that's the,
as well.
That's the bigger issue. That is the bigger issue.
Seriously,
but,
if you're blaming it on Johan Rojas, your team sucks.
No, but no, I hear you, but I'm blaming it
on Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah.
Pedro,
as you should.
Pedro Feliz may have been the worst Philly on the 08 starting lineup, but you knew you were going to probably get a hit, you know, once every...
Ended up getting the winning hit.
He got the winning hit in the World Series.
I mean, come on.
He got the winning hit in the World Series. All right.